Welcome to the Forge Truth Podcast, where we are building great men as God defines greatness. Forge is a movement of men with a mission to help all men realize they are the deeply beloved, redeemed sons of the Most High God. I'm your producer, Zach, and I'm here to discuss the issues that affect men the most with our two hosts, Dr. Pete Allinson, lifelong pastor and leader of Forge, and Jason Quinones, Bishop of Core Faith Church in Oviedo, Florida. Men, welcome to the show.
Here we go.
Yes, it is good to be with you guys.
Yeah. Good to see you guys. How's that hand of yours coming, Bishop?
It's this morning. I felt like I'm like 90%. I'm ready to take it off. I would have taken it off already, but I'm trying to be a good patient and listen to my doctor's instructions. So I had an MRI and should be in within a week, and then I'll get some feedback.
Show the folks at home. We got a video podcast.
Show it. Yeah.
Those watching on YouTube, you can see. Show them the little. I like the little thing.
This tightens it.
I like that.
That's really high tech. I like
it. Is.
You know, we were telling people that the way you hurt yourself was you got into an MMA match with L.
Yeah.
L's one of our men, and he got you into a hold of some sort, right?
He did his signature move, the thumb lock.
And
I just wouldn't tap. So there it is.
And of course, that's not true, but it makes a great story.
Yeah. I would never get in the ring with L ever.
No, never.
For no reason.
Never.
Not at all. Unless I was a ref. I would ref, but to be his opponent, it would have to be life or death.
It would certainly be death.
It would be death, and it's a death wish.
Yeah.
There it is. Wish every one of our guys could meet Al. He's the nicest guy in the world, and he can kill you. You know, he's just MMA. He's great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're not here talking about MMA, are we?
Apparently not. Yeah. We're talking about fathering today.
Okay.
Which feel like MMA.
Yeah. There are parallels.
Sometimes, yes. There are moments where you feel like you're getting choked out.
Well, yeah, I wrestle with my kids every day, and they jump on me every day, and they're getting bigger and bigger. And so it's
good for you.
You feel it more.
Yeah, we're talking about fatherhood, and that's a crucial thing. Why is wrestling with your kids a good thing?
It's fun.
Yeah.
I think it shows them affection. It teaches them, you know, it's okay. Dads love you, and, you know, we love you in a special way.
Yeah.
We body slam you.
And a lot of way it shows them like where the boundaries are, you know, they learn, like they'll get hurt and like, okay, I got to hold back a little bit more.
Right.
They'll, you know, they learn how to, you know, interact with the world.
It's true. And I had two boys first, boy, girl, after 8 years and it was a good thing for them to really know who the alpha was.
Mm.
And, you know, there are times I'd get them down, I'd pin them down, and I'd take my beard and I'd rub it in their belly. And Karen in the kitchen would say, don't make them cry like that. They're not crying bad. You know, it toughens them up a little bit and makes it fun too.
Yeah,
but it really bonds you together.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about fathering. It's a perennial topic on the podcast.
Absolutely.
Because it's so important to men.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We got a lot of dads. I'm thinking of three. One man that listens to us, who I did his wedding years ago, he's got three boys.
Yeah.
And his mom, his wife, Emily, just put on a podcast a picture of the three boys and said they all turned out looking just like their dad. And I'm doing all the work. But no, that's not true. He's doing a lot of work. But it's amazing. All three boys do look like their dad.
Mm.
Well, and so, yeah, we got a lot of guys that that we want to be good dads. You had said some stuff, Bishop, about that.
Yeah, I don't think any dad wakes up and says, I want to suck today. And I want to be the worst dad ever. I think that every dad wants to be a good dad.
Right.
Whether you didn't have a father, and maybe that, you know, in my case, right, my dad wasn't really in my life for a long time. So if you didn't have a dad, you want to be a dad, and you want to be a good dad, and you want to be there for your kids. You don't want to miss anything. And if you had a great dad, you definitely want to be a good dad, because you knew that experience. And so, yeah, I think that fatherhood is, at least for me, and if I'm just totally honest, I think that it's one of the greatest challenges that a man will face, because you can do a job and have a good skill set and be successful at work. You can change your career path. You can go and do something else and become really good at that. and people are going to think you're great, you know. But when it comes to your kids, to me, I think they are the ultimate reflection of you as a dad.
Mm.
And there's no faking it there.
Ah.
So if you're absent, if you're failing, if you're just sucking, then it's going to come out. And so for me, it's, you know, it's not about image. It's, you know, it's really, it's so much more than that, you know, because I think sometimes we might think that, oh man, it's just about making you look bad. No, man, as for a dad that really cares, it's so much deeper, because you want your kids to thrive. You want your kids to be secure. You want your kids to have purpose and direction. You want your kids to, you know, walk in identity, purpose, character, confidence, and legacy. You want them to do all of that. Those are the five marks, just in case. I was working on three free sins there.
There you go, buddy. You got it. You got it.
But no, you know, so I mean, I think we want that. You know, I remember when we were in the process. You know, for those of you that don't know, my son Josiah is adopted. And when we were in the process of doing the adoption, I remember just, I didn't have this same thing with Alexis, who's our daughter, but I was like trembling, thinking about, man, I'm going to be a dad of a boy.
Hmm.
And so anyway, I just know that. And I've had conversation with plenty of guys to know that thinking about being a dad is very intimidating sometimes.
It is.
So, yeah.
It is. Yeah. And Zach, you have two.
I do.
A girl and a boy.
Yes. 5 and 3.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Incredible.
That's great. It's so much fun. I mean, I'm totally winging it as a father. I mean, I'm making it up as I go along, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So
I love both of your attitudes. And I enjoyed being a dad too. You know, I mean, I think I had to break the cycle. I think all three of us had unique father, earthly father experiences so that we had to learn fathering. We didn't really get the best models in front of us. And so we're relearning in Christ how to be good fathers.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a challenge to all men who are listening to this. Is that, listen, if you didn't have a great earthly father experience or model, you can become a good father by the grace of God.
Yeah.
And we want to back you up. We're behind you 100%.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, you know, we want to talk about the sort of the phases of what, of fathering and there's always more to talk about when it comes to fathering, but real quick, just setting the framework up, there's different ways of looking at this. When your kids are really young, you got to have certain skill sets in place. And then as they get older, you got to adjust and adapt. And then when they get out off the family payroll and get out of the home, you're still a dad.
Right.
And so one of our friends, wives, Dan Lasich's wife, Barbara, talks about the three stages of fathering. When they're really young, you're a cop. As they get older, you move into being a coach. And then when they're older and grown, you're a consultant, which is kind of an interesting way of looking at it.
Yeah.
The old transactional analysis model is that parents have a parent-child transaction with their kids. And then as they get older, you've got to begin to shift that to moving more toward an adult relationship or you'll drive them away.
Mm-hmm.
But, so whatever model you use, and there are probably others, are there other models that you guys use?
Yeah. I don't think my model is, so just so you guys know, my daughter is 22. My son is 10.
Love that.
Yeah. So kind of walk through some of the stages. My daughter still lives at home. Thank you, Lord. so I know where she is all the time, but anyway, I think what I've always tried to do is ultimately grow with your kids.
Mm.
You know, you can't, and I'll be honest, it's hard, especially with my daughter, you know, to remember sometimes she's 22 years old because I just want to protect her from every single thing. And I will, you know, whenever I can, or if it's ever necessary. But, I think that to me is the most important, is growing with your kids, recognizing what stage they are at in life. And, you know, there's a time to be a friend. I think when you get to that consultant, that parent peer stage, there's a time to be a friend. Like I don't run your life anymore, you know?
And, yeah.
But I think where some parents fall short in this or make the mistake, I would say, is they want to be friends too early.
Mm.
They want to be that cool parent, and it ain't about that.
It isn't.
Don't worry about if your kids think you're cool or not. Just make sure that your kids know where they're going. That's what's to me the most important, and know who they are, right?
All right.
Yeah.
So in those early years, you know, birth to what, 6, 7, what things need to go on? Maybe that's too big a spate of time, but what needs to go on in those years?
Well, that's definitely the stage that we're in right now.
Yeah.
And a couple things come to mind. One is your presence. You have to be present. They have to interact with you, have great memories with you. This is when they're forming their earliest memories, right?
Mm-hmm.
And is their first memory of going to be you yelling at them over something dumb? Or is it going to be wrestling with you on the couch, you know? Mm-hmm. And so you have to be present with them. Don't just hand it off to your wife for that first decade and say, okay, you handle the diapers and I'll pick it up when they can play baseball.
Yeah.
You know, don't do that, because you have completely missed out on forming the foundation of that relationship with them. You know? Respect doesn't just come from the guy that lays down the law when they've done something wrong. It becomes, they see you be a person worthy of respect,
mm-hmm.
and they have to see that, right? You can't just tell them you're a person worthy of respect.
Mm-hmm.
So presence is a huge one. And then the other thing that really comes to mind with my kids is if they are doing something wrong or bad or annoying or anything like that, before you blame them, look at yourself and see, did I just not teach them how to do this? Because starting from babies, you have to teach them everything. Like when they were 4 months old, we had to teach them how to sleep. You know, like they don't know how to do anything by themselves,
yeah.
including all those soft skills, all of those life skills. You know, they don't know how to regulate their emotions. They don't know how to do anything well. So before I'm going to blame them, I'm going to make sure I've worked hard to teach them that thing. And then once I've taught them, I mean, I expect them to be able to do those things. But then you can get mad at them. But until I have taught them and I can recognize, okay, I met them at their level and let them know what I expect, I'm not surprised at all that they can't do something well.
That's so good. So really knowing your own story and having a sense of knowing where you're at in your own growth. Immature people produce immature kids. And so keep growing also. But I love what you said, presence and loving them big time and not just hammering them with the law.
Yeah. And certainly being intentional.
Yeah.
If you're not intentional with your wife and your kids, you are probably being self-centered, because you're going to lean back on what is best for me at any given moment. You have to be intentional. Yeah.
You know, the more intentional you are, really, even when you mess up, if you're intentional in asking forgiveness, you can still make progress. We have to learn. And every one of your kids is going to be different. Some of your kids are going to push you more. They're going to be strong-willed children, and they're going to make you mad, Dad. They're going to tick you off. And if you lose your temper, you can always say, hey, you know, son, I disciplined you out of anger, or honey, I disciplined you out of anger, and I was too harsh in what I did. Would you forgive me? Mm-hmm. Now what I did was right. I just did it in the wrong way. Mm-hmm. You know, so those are, and that's from experience on my side. I had to ask apology a lot from my firstborn.
My kids right now are at a stage where they're constantly like being mean to each other and tattling on each other and all that kind of thing. And my advice lately has just been, if they say something about you that's not true, just say, that's not true. I'm amazing. And so they say that to each other all the time now. That's not true. I'm amazing. And now I sometimes say it too. Like, it's good.
I like it. Well, I'm glad you talked about apologizing, because I've never had to apologize ever, because I've never made a mistake.
You
as
never
a
did. I know. Never. That's why you're on this podcast.
Not surprised at all.
I'm just showing. Yeah. I mean, I can't count how many times I've had to repent. I would say one thing that is extremely important as a dad, you know, which goes along with what Zach said, you know, being present. But, you know, being present, I would also say pay attention, right? Like get to know, and you said it, Dr. Pete, the get to know the differences, mm-hmm. you know, get yeah. to know the nuance of your kids. I think, you know, Proverbs, I think it's Proverbs 22 something, you know, to raise a child in the way he should go. And when he is older, he will not depart from it. And I heard you teach on that once. And you pointed out the way that the Hebrew is written is it's really, you know, saying raise a child in the way that he was wired.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And every kid is wired differently. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think that it's important to learn that because that's part of molding and developing your kids in those years, you know, pointing them in the direction, you know, your kid, you know, for Josiah, you know, he's musical and he has different talents.
Right.
And, you know, now we're exploring, you know, he's 10 and we're exploring basketball and football and those types of things. And he seems to be taking an interest into that, but ultimately paying attention, what makes their eyes just like open? You know, what do they really love? And so you want to help them and try to point them in the direction of those things. So you're learning as a dad, like, man, how has God wired this child?
Yeah.
Because I might have dreams and I might have thoughts and I want my child to do this, this and that. And, you know, everybody has those expectations of their kids. What if your kid's not like that?
Right.
And then you exert and expend so much energy trying to make them something that they're not. So I say, pay attention and follow I think this is so important in the culture we live. It's not about letting a kid find their way. It's about finding how God designed them and helping them grow the way that God designed them to grow. So I think that's really important.
To love is to know.
Right.
And so you have to know your kids well.
Yeah.
There's no excuse to not know your kids better than anyone else.
Become the expert on your kid.
Absolutely.
And with your wife, she can help you on that. Yep. Study temperaments. Yeah. Tim LaHaye's book, Spirit Controlled Temperament. Get that. Read it. And they probably are not your temperament, or they're a mix of your temperament and your wife's temperament.
Right.
Become an expert on your kids. That's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, shaping them. All right. So we're still talking about younger kids and you do have to lay down the law, right? I mean, raise up a child according to their way, according to the way. So we're mm-hmm. teaching them both, aren't we?
Right.
Teaching them God's ways.
Right.
And that, now, can you give an example of how you've raised or you are raising your kids differently according to their way? Give an example of that.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, both my kids are different temperamentally.
Yeah.
And it's funny because Josiah's getting ready to go to middle school. So we went to the middle school class that they offer like in between, like your kids are going to the next level. And they were talking about how teenagers, they come to a point in their life where they start to argue their case all the time.
Hmm.
And Elaine and I looked at each other and I said, man, Josiah started arguing his case at like 3.
Yeah.
And so he's been arguing his case since that's not a teenage thing for him. That's just how he's been.
That's a temperament thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so with him, it's, you know, and it's funny because as he's gotten older, so earlier on, you know, you're disciplining him about something and then he's going into a whole story and reason why, and you couldn't, no matter what you did, you couldn't get him off of that, right? Like you just had to like endure it or just beat him. And I was trying not to do that part, you know? So anyway, but now that he's gotten older and he understands better, now we can redirect him easier and say, Josiah, we understand you're feeling that. However, that's not what we're talking about. This is what we're talking about. And we want you to focus in on this. And, you know, we're trying to correct you here. We'll talk about that later and we'll have that conversation because we know that that matters to you. And that may be why you're going through whatever you're going through and how you're feeling, but that's just not how we do it. So I don't know if that answered your question,
but it's just
trying to like figure out, okay, this is who you are. And we're trying to point you in the way of righteousness and we're trying to help you figure out what's going on and all that. But yeah.
And with Alexis, who we had on a podcast that we haven't put out there yet. We will, you know, she's your compliant daughter.
Yes.
I want to do everything right.
Yeah. With Alexis, I literally just raise my voice and she'll start crying.
Yeah. You didn't need to. Yeah. So you raised her differently than you're raising Josiah.
Yep. Yep.
How about you, Zach? Can you see that your kids are still young?
Oh, yeah, for sure. My daughter will match your energy. So if she's upset and you get upset, she'll get more upset. Ah. And it just, there's no limit. It will, she will burn the house down before she like, so she absolutely needs to just go off by herself and have 10 minutes by herself. Uh-huh. And then she can come back and be rational and talk and that kind of thing. So for her, if she's done something wrong and she knows it, she has to go off by herself. Otherwise it will just, there's no way that you'll be able to speak to her.
Right.
Whereas my son's totally different. He can, in the moment, we can talk about what he did wrong. He can understand. He can get over it and move on. So he comes towards us in conflict, and my daughter is repelled during conflict.
Yeah. And again, that's a temperamental thing. And I can say that with all my three kids and my, I've got what, six grandkids now, but one of them's a baby. They're all different and wonderfully different. Mm-hmm. And so as dads, we should celebrate the difference. But we, all right, so in those early years, we become experts on knowing our kids, showing up. Kids spell love, T-I-M-E. We need to be there, right? Okay, so.
Yeah. Cell phone less time, yeah.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Right?
Right.
All right, so as they get a little older, okay, 10 up or, you know, 8, 9, 10 up, in the middle school years, later childhood, middle school years, what are we doing more of in parenting, fathering? How does it change? I think one of the things you said was more discussion.
Yeah.
You can discuss more. Mm-hmm. And with your daughter, you have to just put her in a room to think about it for a while, but you will be able to have more dialogue with her as she gets older.
I think in those teenage years, you're helping them live out the things that you either taught them in those formative years, or you're learning everything you didn't teach them.
Ah, interesting.
But I just want to say this. Just because you taught it to them and modeled it for them, it doesn't mean that they got it.
Mm.
And it's and sometimes it's there. They just don't understand. So I'll give you a little example with Josiah. So one of my like big things is men understanding protocols of respect.
Yeah.
One of them is when you have a hat on and you walk into a sanctuary, you take it off. Just like, that's what we do. So I always tell him, hey man, you can wear a hat. You know, you can wear that when you come to church. You know, when you walk in that sanctuary, take it off. So he walks in the sanctuary, he sits down, I'm getting ready to pray. And I look at him and I'm like, take the hat off. And he's like, and he makes a face and I'm like,
I told you this. Take
the hat off. So his mom leans over and is like, take the hat off. Remember my son, I just told you, he argues about everything. So I'm looking at him and I'm like, take the hat off as I'm receiving prayer requests. So he's, ugh, and I'm like, oh, this child wants to meet Jesus right now in front of this church. So afterwards, I take him into my office and I'm like, Josiah, what on earth is going on? Like, why? And so we go through this whole thing. Well, here's the thing. The hat that he had on was a core men's hat.
Ah.
And so in his rationale, he was like, this is a church hat.
This is a church hat. This is a godly hat.
So why do I have to take it off when it's in the church it represents? So rather than just beat him, I was like, listen, son, I understand your rationale, but it's about the covering of your head. So anyway, I say that Josiah understood what we've taught him about hats. That wasn't the question. Mm-hmm. He was working out this conviction. He was working out this understanding. So I jokingly say, you know, you're going to either help them work out the things you taught them or learn what you didn't teach them. And I just think that sometimes it's a little bit of both. They're trying to apply the things you've taught them. So don't get discouraged. Again, be patient with them in these years because they're going through changes. They're trying to figure out their faith. They're trying to figure out who they are and how they're supposed to live in this world. And they have influences from school. They have influences from social media. They have influences from other kids, you know, in church. And so it's a lot of influence that you're dealing with. So I would just say, I think that that's an example.
So they hear you, and we men can be so impatient. I taught you this.
Yes.
Yeah. And so we teach over and over and over and over. I remember Paul to Timothy, have complete patience and instruction with your people.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, if that's true in the church as pastors, it's triply true with our kids.
Yeah.
two things, and I'm not an expert on this age at all because I'm an expert at 5.5 and below. You know, anything on that is I have no idea. But two things that come to mind, I guess, is one, recognize that you are probably also still learning the things that you're teaching your kids.
Ooh.
And so if you're frustrated, you're like, how come every time they're tired and hungry, they get mad at me? Like, they really got to get over that and just, like, you know, have maturity. And it's like, when I'm hungry or tired, I'm mad too. You know, yeah. Like, it's like, we're all dealing with the same stuff. So like meeting them where they're at. But, and the second thing is, this is what I've heard from some parents, is that when you get to that kind of like, you know, late elementary, early middle school years, parenting becomes a lot easier in a sense. Like, they're not as needy on you. They can kind of, the kids can kind of coast and they're doing good. And they're like, they still like school and they're inquisitive about the world. And it's like, it's kind of easy period in the middle before they start hitting puberty and all that kind of stuff. And that the tendency can be to let your foot off the gas mm-hmm. and to coast along with them as mm-hmm. a father, mm-hmm. but to not do that, to not disengage or pull back and let them kind of like coast and live their easy life, but to really stay engaged with them during that time, mm-hmm. because you're going to need that strong connection when they start moving into the post-puberty ages.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Totally. Yeah. I think too many parents, and I observed this as a pastor for many years, too many parents stop parenting their kids in those later years, as you described, and middle school, and sometimes it's fatigue. Mm-hmm. They say, I'm tired. I got a job and I got kids and I'm exhausted, and they yeah. back off. No, that's when you have to redouble, but you have to transition how you parent.
Right.
Is staying connected in a different way, because yeah. they may not even want you around as they hit those early teenage years.
Yeah.
And when you're walking in the mall with them or walking at church, they're like six steps ahead or behind. They don't want to be associated.
Right.
Sometimes that's
right.
true.
Right.
And you have to keep finding ways to connect with your kids. And so I think let's continue to focus for a couple of more minutes on that. We've done the younger children. We haven't exhausted it, but in that middle, and we can come back and talk later about high school and mm-hmm. even older. But staying engaged, how do you stay engaged with your kids as they start maybe going through that stage you recommend, you were talking about, yeah. or even where they are kind of pushing back a little bit?
Yeah.
One thing I did with Johnny when he was in middle school and high school, all through high school, because he played basketball, was just out there. I'd try to get off early, and when he'd be out shooting hoops, and I'd just feed the ball to him.
Yeah.
And that's when I'd talk. Talk to him, hey, how'd it go? How was school? Who's, you know, and I'd keep feeding him the basketball.
Yeah.
And that was my way of connecting with him during those years.
So I would say one thing again. We as dads with kids that are in those preteen, teen years, we have to remember how tough it was for us.
Mm.
These kids are going through like the changes that their bodies are going through. There's so much happening in them mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And we just, I think we have to keep that in mind, because
yeah.
it's like their next, this is foundational to their next level. And if we just get impatient and you know, we do like we said, oh man, I've already taught you this. Like, why don't you know, you don't get this, you know, but really understanding, man, they're not trying to be rebellious, man. They're really going through changes. Like this is physiological. This is not like, they're not making this up. And so I think that to me is invaluable for dads, you know, in those years, always keeping that in mind. And that way they can continue to press in and find those different ways. Like with you know, same thing with Josiah, just that's where we can connect. So look for those points of connection and their interest.
Remember how hard it was for you to kind of relive your childhood some and think it through.
Yeah.
Yeah. No joke.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've covered pretty much everything you can say about fatherhood.
Yeah.
The final word has been written. I think that's it.
In 29 minutes, you know?
Oh, man.
It's incredible.
Good night.
Well, obviously, we barely scratched the surface. So we'll pick this up many times on this podcast in the future. But I want to thank everyone at home for listening to this episode of the Forge Truth podcast. If you have any questions or comments on what we talked about today, you can email the show at forge@forgetruth.com. And if you're interested in learning more about the Forge movement, you can check out our website at forgetruth.com. forwardstruth.com. I'd love if you help get the word out about our podcast by going to Apple Podcasts and leaving a 5-star rating and review for the show. It goes a long way in helping more people find the show. We also want to let you know that we're on YouTube. We have a video version of this podcast. So if you want to watch us while listening to us, you can search for us on YouTube as well. Thanks for listening. And Jason, will you lay down a challenge for our men listening today?
Yeah, dads, like I said in the beginning, I feel the tension of wanting to be a good dad and thinking that you need to have all the answers. And there are a ton of resources. We didn't even touch any of those, really. But here's the reality. I think the most important thing that you can do as a dad is commit to loving your kids well. If the foundation is love, God is going to lead you to the right resources, and you're going to make mistakes, but you're going to continue to grow through them and grow with your kids through them. So don't stop loving your kids.